listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to take a global look, a GPS global positioning satellite look at what's happening in the United States of America, what's happening in the world. And essentially, if we want to summarize it quickly, we have a catastrophic failure, systemic failure in leadership in the very key places of our society. I'm talking about presidents, Supreme Court justices, politicians, so on and so forth. A systemic failure, a total breakdown in a failure to solve problems in an efficient, manageable way. It is at an epidemic level, a crisis level, if you will. And it impacts you and me and every single one of us. It impacts us substantially because when you and I attempt to solve the problems or solve the problem, we don't have the equipment to solve the problem. And by that I mean, it's not that we don't have a lack of expertise. It's not that we don't have a lack of intelligence. We have all those things. America has more of those things than just about any other nation on planet Earth. But what we are lacking is training, knowledge, willpower, and the authentic ability to do simple things like analyze a problem, manage a problem. I'm talking about lightweight problems. These are not like big deal problems. These are the problems that, for crying out loud, any auto mechanic worth his salt could fix. The only thing is, does he or she have a willingness to fix them? As you've probably discovered, as I've discovered, the vast majority of the times, the people who allegedly have the will to solve the problem don't. All they do is make excuses and pass the buck on to the next guy. Make excuses, pass the buck on to the next guy. So you can't have, as simplistic as this explanation is, it's the only explanation that fits the shoe size. Let's just take a couple of shoe sizes here and see what their measurements are. The shoe sizes determine whether or not the shoe repairman or the auto mechanic can fix the basic problem. So the problem is not a lack of an ability to fix the problem. The problem is a lack of willingness, a lack of integrity, fix the problem. That's what we have an epidemic of, a lack of willingness to fix the problem. So we have hundreds of thousands or more of people who have no desire whatsoever to fix the problems that they could easily fix, because they're trained, in many cases they're licensed auto mechanics, but what they lack is not the ability to fix these things. They lack the ability to use their willpower in a direction that benefits society. So the problem is that we have a collective demise, a collective shirking back, a collective stalling out of the brain. That's what we have, a collective denial of the stalling out of the brain. Because all of these problems are, in the bigger scope of things, they are minuscule and microscopic problems. So if the problems are microscopic and minuscule, then you would rightly ask, why are they not being solved? And the reason they're not being solved is because there is no willpower, there is no social cohesion, there is no accountability in society. I mean, look, let's put it straight and simple. In most businesses today, there is a total lack of willpower, a total lack of desire to actually fix the problems at a reasonable cost and a reasonable rate. That desire is null and void. So what we have is we have millions of freeloaders looking for how they can scam the next person, how they can take advantage of the next person. And so when you have a society where you're taking advantage of millions and millions of people, and all they're about is scamming the millions and millions of people, what you have here is a collective nightmare. What you have here is a collective deluge. You have a collective impotency, if you will. Because the training, the knowledge, the technology is all in place to fix these basic simple problems. But there is no willingness to do it collectively. And so why is there no willingness to fix the problem collectively? What is absent from our system? What is absent from our thinking process? Where do we fall short? Well, it's really easy. We have lost as a nation the collective willpower. We have lost as a nation the collective integrity, the collective seeking answers out. We have lost the collective call, the collective accountability to do things right. So what we have is a crisis. We're in a crisis mode. We've been in a crisis mode for 40, 50, 60 years. And in this particular crisis mode, we tolerate, we empower, we function as if we really want to see things fixed. That's how we function. We function as if this is what we need to do to see things fixed. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want that. Everybody is looking to make a buck off somebody else. Now, the unfortunate problem with this massive short circuit of the collective will of the American people, the root of it is a spiritual loss of willpower. That's the root of it. The root of it is a collective loss of willpower. Because if all the people were doing what they were supposed to be doing, if all the people that were supposed to be fixing cars were actually fixing them, all the people who were supposed to be in the game and repairing cars, etc., were actually doing that, and if our society was actually functioning in a manner in which the vast numerical numbers of people were actually in the game of getting things done. And if they were actually in the game of making things happen, do you know what would happen in a relatively very short period of time? I'll tell you exactly what would happen in a very short period of time. The psychopathic, self-destructive willpower that is paralyzing people from actually doing things, that psychopathic, self-destructive form of willpower would stop operating in the psychopathic manner that it has been given free rein to operate in. And so what would happen is, women especially, because they're victimized in the highest ranking positions regarding this, women especially, of all age groups, mainly because most women, not all, but most women don't have the knowledge, the training, and collective willpower to hold businessmen accountable for cheating them. And because they don't have, and it's not because they're bad people, they don't have the collective willpower to enforce people from cheating them. They take a secondary route, which is they function in a manner that is the most expedient, but it also happens to be the manner which is the most self-destructive for society. So now we have millions and millions and millions of people operating in our society that are fully functioning psychopaths who absolutely refuse to get on the job, absolutely refuse to hold men accountable. And there are legitimate reasons for this. And so you have a massive short circuit across the board in the arena. You have a massive short circuit across the board in the arena of self-actualization, self-accountability. And so nobody is holding these millions and millions and millions of people. Nobody is holding them accountable. And they're running amok. And they're not fixing what they're supposed to be fixing. And you can go down the list. That spiritual cancer, that's exactly what it is. Don't think anybody's getting away with it, because they're not getting away with it. That spiritual cancer is exploding like an epidemic in our society. And the spiritual cancer is letting off millions and millions of men off the hook and not holding them accountable for a dereliction of duty. We have lost the basic and the minimal sense of honor at every level of our society. We have lost all honor, all integrity at every level of our society. It begins with a total loss of honor and willpower of our society at the most basic levels. So at the most basic levels, that would imply that there's nobody in law enforcement, nobody in the courts, nobody in the legal arenas. There is nobody manning the fort. There is nobody there to protect all these women. Why? 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 Because when you have a society where everybody is in it for themselves, when you have a society where everybody wants the short-term solutions, the short-term bucks, when you have a society where everybody is in it for themselves and everybody is looking to take a shortcut, you already know the answer. What happens is when our society becomes that society, and you and I both know that our society has now become that kind of society. Our society has now become a society of ruthless, self-centered vultures that prey upon the weaknesses of women and children and the elderly. And it has now reached an epidemic proportion. And so men used to be raised in a household with a mother. See, this is not a really complicated situation. Let's be certain of that. This is not an overly complicated situation. It starts where you know it starts. It starts with the destruction of the family. It's not mysterious. Any sociologist would tell you that. And so, mothers, I mentioned mothers first because they're taken advantage of the most. It is the expectation of our corrupt society that mothers, if they happen to encounter a male, whether it's a repairman of some kind or a salesman of some kind or whatever, when that female, who is obviously physically weaker, encounters a male, that woman can fully expect to have her her rights, her rights trampled upon. That woman can fully expect to have her rights taken away from her. That woman can fully expect to have her rights abused in the most horrific areas. The woman is no longer the golden child of society. That woman is now the primary target for society. And as the primary target of society, that woman must fight all by herself, and she must fight in every manner she knows how, by covert means of all kinds, in order to just survive. I know what that's like because I grew up raised by a single mother. And because I grew up raised by a single mother, my mother was preyed upon by all kinds of males. And I knew what they were doing. And my mother didn't give in to it. But she had to fight one hell of a fight in order not to give in to it. So whether it was the manager of the apartment building in order to fix a simple faucet thing that might have taken him 5 minutes to fix, he was out for sex. He wanted to score with my mother. Honor, forget about it. It was a matter of, there was no honor. It was a matter of, could you sexually exploit the mother with children because there's no man to protect her? And so our entire society has fragmented. Our entire society has ruptured. our entire society has broken down, and the person and the individual who is the target of the assault just happens to be the woman. The woman. So the woman is at the center of the cyclone. The woman is a target. The woman has to fight hell on high water in order to survive. And those of you who are women, who know what I'm talking about, who had to live through this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I will tell you what that is. I will tell you that when that happens in a society, I will tell you that when that happens in society and young boys see it, because young boys aren't stupid, young boys see it. And when that begins to happen in society, when the women of a society are no longer honored, but they're preyed upon, they're attacked, they're threatened with rape and everything else, you know what goes on. When you see those things, you are watching in living color the beginning of the end of our nation. And when we're reaching the beginning of the end of our nation, there's no turning back. Why? Because once a society loses its honor, loses its sense of integrity, loses its sense of right and wrong, when a society loses those values, guess what? It then becomes the beginning of the end for that society. And in America now, we have long such reached the point known as the beginning of the end for our society, where women are preyed upon. And every guy is trying to, you know what every guy is trying to do. Now, you cannot have a society of integrity. You cannot have a society where women behave virtuously. You cannot have a society where, even among Christian men, where virtue is promoted and other high-level values are promoted. That all disintegrates under the weight of massive immorality, massive what's in it for me. Everybody's out for themselves. And when that moral chaos reaches a crescendo, what happens is there's no room for dignity anymore. There's no room for a society which honors its women, honors its young daughters, honors grandmothers and women of every kind. That kind of woman is obsolete. And so what we have in society instead, there's been a replacement. In order to survive, society has become essentially a whorehouse. Society has become an open whorehouse where the social fabric and the social structure of our society is built in to take advantage of women. The social fabric of our society is built in to prey upon and to destroy and to exploit women in any way they can. So the fallout from that kind of atrocity, and it is an atrocity, the fallout from that kind of atrocity is that women stop being role models to other women of virtue, of integrity, of honor, of modesty, of virginity, of all kinds of values that used to be collectively valued by our society. Now that doesn't exist anymore. See what's happening? This is not a complex free fall to understand. You know that, right? You bet you do. Every one of you listening to me, you totally understand what I'm talking about. And by the way, let me add something. You totally understand what I'm talking about, and you totally understand whether or not you are part of the problem or part of the solution. You understand that. And tragically, it seems like percentage-wise, just as many Christian men are in on this racket as non-Christian men. And the fallout is, I'm going to say it like it, the Bible says it. If you're offended by the King James version of the Bible, then it's your problem. I'm going to say it to you exactly how the Word of God says it. The Word of God calls it whoredom. When the women of God are forced to carry themselves like whores and prostitutes, and when the women of God are forced to, they're no longer honored, they're no longer treated with dignity, they're no longer esteemed. Why? All you have to do is turn on a television show, and the programming, the mass media programming, is hammering into our brains the lies and the propaganda of lies, of Satan's lies. People don't like to use the word Satan anymore. They think they're embarrassed. It's old-fashioned. I want to tell you something about people being embarrassed and people feeling old-fashioned by terms like boredom and things of that nature. That is the result. That is the expectation. That is the free fall of any society where millions and millions of women have rejected the godly and honorable role of a mother, of a woman of virtue, etc., etc. So what do the young women see? What the young women see is they no longer see evidence, facts. They no longer see evidence and facts of what it means to be a godly woman, a godly example for young women. They no longer see that. That role model is absent from our nation. So what they see instead are the perverse role models promoted by our society, and I'll name some. I happened to catch, may the Lord have mercy on my soul, I happened to catch a number of programs of a television series. I forgot the guy, I forgot the girl. It was an abomination. It was a television series that extolled womanhood as the woman being a whore, the woman being a murderer. The woman's value comes about because she's a crack dealer and she can order a kill or a hit on somebody. Now, any way you slice this, if the role models that women and young women see are of crack dealers and drug dealers and big gang leaders. If that's all young women see, they get the message really quick at a young age. They get the message that the only way a woman can have a husband that's decent, the only way a woman can have a man who is decent, the only way that can possibly happen is if that woman makes the choice to swim over to the dark side, as in the movie I'm talking about called The Ozarks, which is a pig pen on wheels. The Ozarks. And all the other women in the movie, they're all turning to crime and prostitution, etc., etc., because that's the only way the filmmaker leads you to believe that you can survive. So that's the game that's being played. It's all about role models. It's all about that the women who are valued, the women who are pursued sexually, the women that are esteemed, all these women have something in common. And what they have in common is that they get rid of all their role models. They get rid of all their esteem and virtue. And the only thing that's left, because esteem and virtue is gutted and decimated from society, the only thing that's left over for women to admire about other women is the counterfeit of esteem and virtue. So young women in a very impressionable age see an endless series of role models where older women, attractive women, women who have money, women who have power, women who have success, they all have one thing in common. What they have in common is that they are women of the world. They are women of Babylon. And the whole thing stinks to high heaven. And the reason the whole thing stinks to high heaven is because you can't find a woman that is a woman of virtue, a woman of value. If you're a virgin and people find out in the workplace, you are mocked. You are laughed at. If you are not promiscuous and you have a moral standard, you are considered a freak or an oddball. And so everything's upside down. Everything is upside down. And with the women of virtue, the women that have money and success and respect, they all have one thing in common. What they have in common is they all have jobs that involve the fact that they are selling their souls for a quick buck. And it creeps into every rock and pebble in our society. It infects every quarter of our society. And with the infection that permeates every quarter of our society, these women sell themselves either by, you know, would you fix my water faucet or whatever? And, you know, I'll do you a sexual favor or whatever it is. See, but what happens here, what plays out here, and make no mistake about it, values are being taught, indoctrinated, programmed into many generations of young people. Values are being hammered into their hearts and souls. And they are being taught that the that the only women that are treated with respect and value, et cetera, are those women who are promiscuous, who function like whores, who break the rules of God. Only those women can succeed. Everybody else is wiped out and taken advantage of. So that's where we are in our society. That's where we are. And now, so what's left is that many generations of women, that includes many generations of women that have power and success, etc. The common denominator to all of their power and success is that these women across the board are women that have sold their souls by various forms of prostitution. And that's the new normal. That's the new name of the game. If you want respect, if you want dignity or whatever it is, then you got to be prepared to sell your soul. Now, by the way, that's a flat-out lie. That's a lie. It's the devil's lie to women, and it's the devil's lie to men. But you hammer it deep enough into their brains over and over again, they're all going to start marching to that tune. So what happens is that all these women are selling their bodies in prostitution, selling coke and crack and connected with drug dealers, and on and on and on. They're all on the take. They're all in criminal businesses. And the only way out of this hell on earth is to sell your soul to the devil. The only way out is to sell your soul to the devil and to play the devil's game. That's the only way out. And now you see why our society is in a high velocity downward spiral where virtue, morality, prostitution, drug dealing, and all the rest of this stuff, it's all open season on women. It's all open season on women. And women are taught from the time they're pre-teenage girls that if you want to make money, if you want to be treated with respect, the only way in today's world, unless you're rich or have a bunch of capital, the only way you can be a person of power is to be a madam or a whore from a whorehouse and sell your soul. Because that's what society teaches you. And once upon a time in America, that was the exclusive domain and teaching of inner city women, because inner city women were easy prey, and they were told the only way you're going to get respected is to get money. The only way you're going to get money is to sell your body, sell drugs, etc., etc. You know, I remember about 7 years ago reading this statistic, and in the data that I read these facts, and this was about 7 years ago, and the facts were simply this, that there was a time in Great Britain, there was a time in England where one out of five women had to sell their bodies had to sell their bodies for sexual favors to other men, to people's husbands, and the list was endless. And the whole name of the game was simply this. If you wanted to be wealthy or affluent or successful, the only way you could be assured of that was to sell your body, sell yourself to the open market. So if a mother was willing to sell her body on the whorehouses of life, she could make money. If a woman was not willing to prostitute herself, then she would starve to death, because that was the only way. Now, the point is, and this is the important point, that lie, that fact, first of all, what I just told you is a lie. What I just told you is incorrect. What I just told you was a falsehood. What I just told you was a blatant lie. There was never a time in England where one out of five women had to sell their bodies as whores in order to survive. That was totally a fictitious setup. And they got enough women to believe it, and so that's how they conducted their lives. Now, here's the other thing that's incredibly important to understand. Everything in our world is about marketing, advertising, selling, which means brainwashing, which means mind control, or whatever. Everything in our commercial society revolves around the commerciality of selling, marketing, etc., etc. That's the way it is. And millions of women have been sold with the lie that they cannot succeed, they can't make a decent living, unless they're willing to sell their bodies as whores and to sell themselves as whores. That's the dirty, nasty little secret that women have been lied to and that women have been told. And so, when we have this dynamic, this commercial dynamic at work in society, that in order to be a woman who is respected, etc., the only way you can get that respect is to sell your body as a whore to other men, and that there's no other way. Now, that's a lie of the devil, because you see, what that suggests, what that communicates to the average woman, to the average female, what that communicates to the average female is that your life is a hopeless wreck. The only possible chance that you have of making money and big money, the only possible chance that you have is to be willing to sell your body as a whore. And the data is so corrupting in England at the time that one out of five women in Great Britain were selling their bodies as whores. Now, is that true? I don't think it's true, by the way. I don't think it's true. I don't think there's evidence that's true to support it at all. I think it's a lie. I think it's a lie, but it's a useful lie that the devil sows into society. It's a useless lie, because if the devil can get millions of Christian women to believe this lie about reality, then he can also destroy the lives of young women. He can destroy the lives of the morals of women and everything else. So with one full stroke, he can decimate a society. He can wipe out anything that's left of a moral structure. So where are we going with all this? All of these lies are being told now to women of various age groups. All of these lies are being told to women of various age groups. They are being told 1,000 different ways through the mass media that there's no way for you to make an honest living unless you are willing to sell your body as a madam, as a prostitute, as a whore, or whatever. And only if you're willing to sell yourself like a whore, only then is there a possibility that you can make it and have a lifestyle that's worth living. And that is a very sobering, it's a very gruesome set of facts. Because what that does to the hearts of little girls and little children, what it does to them is it totally shatters any prospect they have for having a noble, virtuous life. It totally destroys any prospect to them of having a life of dignity and honor and being successful in the world. And what it tells them the only way that you can be successful is to sell your body like a whore. And then the whole house of cards comes down. So what's happening now in our society is a very similar lie is being told over and over and over again to the average woman, the average girl, the average teenage girl. A very powerful lie is being told to women over and over again. And the nature of that lie is this. The only way you can make it is if you sell your bodies like a whore. If you're being willing to sell your body like a whore, if you're willing to sell your body like a prostitute or whatever, then and only then you might possibly make it. If you're willing to go that low. And so what this does is this type of lying belief system tosses a ball called inertia into the centrifuge-like forces of society. There are centrifugal forces in any society that cause it to propel and revolve at a very high speed. And when countless thousands of girls are being told all the time, and when they're seeing this all the time among their friends and their friends' friends, when they're seeing this played out in the lives of their friends and friends' friends, what they're seeing is this lie being played out before them. And the lie that's being played out before them is this lie, it's this deception. The devil is lying to them and telling them, there's no hope for you. There's no chance for you to have a virtuous, honorable, dignified life. The only way you can have a dignified, honorable life at all is if you're willing to sink to the very bottom. And if you're willing to sink to the very bottom and sell yourself, sell your body to men. And if you're willing to commit all kinds of acts of sexual perversion to men for money, then and only then is there potential of hope and a chance that you can make enough money to earn a higher end of living. Only then can you expect to make money. Only then can you expect to have jewelry, a home, a nice home, and everything else. Only then. Only if you're willing to sell your body like a whore can you generate the money, generate the capital to make money by selling your body like a whore. And so this lie is being embedded in our society right now because of the economy. All kinds of women at all kinds of age groups are now being lied to, and they're being enticed, and they're being groomed, and they're being programmed and brainwashed into believing that the only way they can have a decent lifestyle, the only way that they can have a life worth living, is if they're willing to sell their bodies like a prostitute, like a whore, and be willing to do absolutely anything, no matter how degrading what you do is. If you're willing to do whatever it is that is so highly degrading, then and only then will you have the opportunity to sell yourself like a whore and maybe sell younger girls as whores. And only then can you have a nice house, send your daughters to college, and all kinds of stuff. And this message is pounded into the heads a thousand different ways. And they're always lies because the devil is a liar. And here's other ways that the lie of the devil plays out. Another way that the lie of the devil plays out is that the devil comes to young women who are in college, and somebody pretending to be a high-rolling billionaire or a super millionaire who's, at least in their perception, this guy is filthy, filthy rich. Now, if they're willing to sell their bodies to this guy who is filthy, filthy rich, then they can win the lottery, so to speak. They can become rich. They can become wealthy. They can become power. But the only way that it's humanly possible for them to become very rich and powerful is if they sell their bodies in trade for the most perverted sexual acts imaginable. Only then, if they're willing to sell their bodies in the most perverted sexual activities, will they have an opportunity to live the good life. And so what caused this was the massive promotion of a movie known as, what was the name of the movie? The massive promotion of a movie known as 50 Shades of Grey or something like that. And what that movie taught women in college, or women who couldn't afford to pay their college bills, what it told all these women is, you have another option. you can drop out of college. You can drop out of college. You can become, a dishwasher or a or some kind of low level employee. And but the lie is, you're taught that most likely you will not even be able to finish up as, with enough money, you won't be able to finish up as a woman that has enough money to pay for the completion of her college tuition. See how the devil lies? First of all, that's not true. Second of all, if it's true in a few places, it's the minority. But the devil doesn't care. He's a liar. So the devil hustles lots of lies. And so it's no surprise that the devil and whatever it is, 50 Shades of Grey, or whatever the title is, I can't remember the title. Whatever the name of that movie was, the basic message was, it totally exploited an innocent young female's aspirations. And what it told the innocent young female was, if you're willing to sell your body to a wealthy millionaire and let him do whatever the heck he wants to do to you sexually, and that always means some kind of hypersexual perversion and some kind of hypersexual relationship. And if you will be, to be blunt, his sex slave and do whatever he wants, then he'll pay you off for college. And so you would walk, a couple of years ago, you would walk into any supermarket, at least in California, you would walk into any supermarket and you would see right on the front end caps, for sale, a movie, 50 Shades of Grey. Okay? And it was the number one female sexual fantasy book. Women, basically kicked their husbands out of the house if they caught the woman, if they caught the man watching pornography. But female pornography, which is what 50 Shades of Grey was in my opinion, worse. But the truth, again, the devil's a liar. The truth is, see, everything in that script, and the woman who wrote that script was a writer of pornography, and everything in that script was designed to seduce the woman into an idealistic relationship. So the reality is and was that the woman was lied to and told that she would have this idealistic life and it would be fun and daring sexually, and won't this be great? But truth of the matter is, it wasn't idealistic, it wasn't great, it was hell, because the writer lied about all the real truth of the deal that these women made with the millionaire young, handsome husband. Okay? So, the woman was lied to about the relationship. So, what really happened is that the woman sold her body to a man who was not necessarily the idealistic, physically handsome man. Fact of the matter was, is that most of the men were not handsome. They were fat. They were overweight. They were not a good catch at all. They were simply there to be abused sexually by the female. See how the lie works? So you got all these girls hooked into that lifestyle. Hooked into that lifestyle. And on top of it, some of them never got out of the lifestyle. And then it was too late. After you've been abused in certain ways, pretty nasty, man. I mean, really nasty. So, what happened was, women, by the millions across the nation, were entering into sex and money deals with who they thought would be handsome millionaire men, you know, the woman's fantasy. But it turned out that the women were not millionaire handsome men at all. They were fat, overweight, old, and ugly, and they were just perverts. But the devil lies. He's really good at lies because the devil's been a liar since the beginning. And so what happened was the devil was lying to all these women. So again, a whole other spectrum of lies. And we could go on for an hour about the enormous spectrum of lies, such as the lie of you'll be eternally happy if you live together. If you read all the statistics and all the data on whether or not women especially are happy and fulfilled when they choose to live together with some man, the statistics are overwhelming and overwhelmingly against the women are not happy when they live together with their boyfriend before marriage. All the data says they're going to end up miserable. And so these lies perpetuate, And now, and I want to cut it off at this point, but now you have young girls. I don't know what young means to you. I'm thinking like 13, 12, 11, 14. I have no idea. But you have young girls who are selling their bodies to older men for a price. And the devil's a liar. Okay, so I'm going to close with the full expose of this one massive lie. The massive lie is that the women who sell their bodies to older men in prostitution when the women are very, very young women. Okay, so let's calculate the scenario accurately. When the women are very young women, they sell their bodies for the most perverted activities to young men, or older, most often much older men. They sell their bodies to them, these old men, not young, handsome men. Old men. And let's expose the lie. The whole reason that millions of young women all across the nation, the whole reason that all these laws are being passed that will make it legal for young women, I'm talking about really, really young women, the whole reason that they're selling their bodies to young women is because they're promised all these lies, luxury and happiness and, you know, everything that goes with it. And the reality is they don't get a handsome guy. The guy doesn't want to marry him. And they end up being essentially a sex slave. I mean, when push comes to shove, most of these young girls have sold their young bodies into being sex slaves to far, far older men. And now they're trapped in a lifestyle that they can't get out of because they've become economically dependent on the older men. The older man pays for, you know, whatever for the girl. But the expectation and the agreement is that she has to perform heavy duty on a sexual basis, on a regular sexual basis. She has to trade in everything. And it's brutal, and it's ugly, and it's not glamorous, and you're not the guy you're giving your body to is not some famous Hollywood star. It's a really ugly, disgusting business for men. But then it's too late for the girl to get out of captivity because she's locked into it. You understand? She's locked into it. All right. All I wanted to do, probably should have given a disclosure warning at the beginning. All I wanted to do on this program is open some people's eyes. All I wanted to do on this program is open your eyes to the truth, open your eyes to the light, and open your eyes to the massive, massive deception. And who is it? Who are the people financing the changing of all the laws that lowers the age of consent of young women? Who is it that are changing the laws radically that will make it possible for young women to have sex with older men? The people who are causing this sea change of transformation, they are all very much older men. They're all very much older men who have enticed and trapped the females into sexual slavery and a life of hell. And let me finish by saying this. Devil's a liar. He's always been a liar. And when he traps you into this lifestyle, you are being trapped into hell on earth. Make no mistakes about it. You're being trapped into hell on earth. And there's no going back whatsoever. If you're a woman, you need to educate your daughter while there's still time, because her friends are already into this lifestyle. You need to wake up your daughter while there's still time. It's not cute. It's not romantic. It's not sexy. It depends on your definition of sexy and romantic. Personally, I don't think a young girl coming home at night and being beaten harshly, cruelly, and ugly, personally, I don't think that's very sexy. And I don't think most women do. So wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and get a grip. The people that are behind this, who do you think it is that are behind all these new laws, the new senators, the new congressmen, and even all the female politicians? Who do you think it is that's pushing all this sexual freedom, which is nothing more than making it legally possible for your daughter to be a sexual target to older men? Who's behind all that? Men. Men are behind it. Wake up. Smell the coffee. This is the Paul McGuire Report.